This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
So here we are again, and I'm so excited to be back with you today. You know, the Sue Free Show exists to empower you. Are you in need of passion, purpose, and a connection? This show is about getting to know you. What are you passionate about? What is your purpose on this earth? What were you created for? When do you feel connected to another person? Who are you? Now, that's a big one. It is not what you do for a living that determines who you are. Our actions say who we are. But when we are vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and teachable, going through challenging experiences, we can all grow and learn from one another. This journey is a process where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? I know for me, I am growing every day, getting better every day, because that's my desire, to be more like Christ every day. Today we have someone joining us. His name is Bob Drake. Became fatherless at age 12 after his father died by a sudden heart attack. As a boy growing up without his dad, his life was devastated with great loneliness and despair. Bob felt he had no hope. Anybody been there? During this time, Bob did not know God loved him and wanted to die for him. No, you wanted to die, right, Bob?
That's correct.
Yes. After much struggle and disappointment throughout his life, Bob met Jesus Christ. Bob couldn't even walk at the time, and after he was saved at age 46, God gave Bob his life purpose, to mentor fatherless boys for Jesus. Bob now has the joy of using the pain of a fatherless boy grown up to lead Christian men to love fatherless boys and lead them in a lasting relationship with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful story. It's sad, but you know, God turns things out for good, doesn't he?
He does. He really does. He loves us, and he fixes everything.
Yeah, he does, but we have to be leaning on him, don't we? He wants us to lean on him.
Amen. He wants us to take the steps, Sue. If we follow him, and he says that his sheep hear his voice, then we will do good for him.
That is so right. You know, when I'm reading your story, I'm thinking about me. I'm not a son. I'm a daughter. And my father was kind of the absent. My father was kind of the absent father. He would go to work and come home, and we'd sit at the table, but he wasn't much of a talker and not much. He wasn't very affectionate. So for me, it was almost like I didn't have a father. And I didn't have much of a relationship with him. So those listening, if you're not a son and you're not a father and you're not a brother, but you're a daughter or a mother or a sister, these things apply, and we can all use them, and we can learn from one another by hearing other people's stories. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to experience every hard knock myself to have empathy and sympathy for others. I want to learn from stories. I want to learn from other people's vulnerabilities and transparencies, like you're going to be today, Bob, and I'm so thankful that you're on the show. But we can learn from one another, and what it does is it just helps us to have that love that Christ so badly wants us to have and to show to others. What he says is, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So as we do those two things, everything else works out. But that's where it starts, is to love him first and then love thy neighbor as thyself. Right, Bob?
That's correct. That's God's love, is when we love others from his love, then we're really loving him too. It says so in Matthew 25:40.
Right.
When we learn to love God through the Spirit of God by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, he gives us the unconditional love for others, and then we can love his way.
You were very excited about coming on this show because you wanted to, even if there was one person, and we are so like-minded here, because on radio you don't see the faces. You don't see the people. So you're speaking to air, and you're believing, as I am, that God is having people turn on this show and listen because they need something. So those listening, if you need something or you know somebody that needs something, you might find it today. And we always have to be looking for that and be in expectation of finding that in everything we do. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5. And I do have a Sue Free's, spelt like fries, one word, .com page. And on that page, for those listening, when you listen to this show or any of my shows for that matter, I am syndicated. I go out throughout Southern California and Northern California, which is wonderful. I feel so blessed to be able to say that. But when you go on the page, you can look up other podcasts. So if there's something you missed for a weekend or something that you heard and you wanted to share but couldn't get a hold of a family member or a friend that needs to hear the message or you think needs to hear the message, you can also tell them to get onto the SueFreeze.com page and they can connect with us and they can listen to the podcasts anytime. Also, you can stream the show, which is also a very nice thing that we didn't used to have, but we do now. So I just wanted to give a little commercial on that so that we all know that there's, you know, you can get the information after this time has passed. So, Bob, you said that you did not know God's love. My question is, why does God love us so?
Well, Sue, the Bible makes it very clear that God is love. Actually, that statement is written in 1 John 4:16 in the Bible. And all throughout the Bible, there's many examples of God's love, and I think the greatest one is that he sent his one and only Son to die for us, to die for our sins, and to rise again to give us eternal life, and to ascend to heaven to give us the Holy Spirit. I can't think of course, I'm a human being, we're human, but how could God show his love for us any more than to send his Son, and his Son went voluntarily for us. He did not have to do that. That's how I know God's love.
Right, and there came a time. Was there a breaking point? This isn't in your questions or anything. Was there an exact moment or what happened that caused this to become?
What happened in my life, Sue, was, as you mentioned, after my dad died, and he died very, very suddenly, I woke up one morning, and my uncle was in the house telling me that he died, and I just, at age 13, I cried hard. I asked God, if you are who you say you are and your son is who you say he is, please help me. And I didn't hear anything, at least I didn't think I did. I didn't see anything. And so many times when we don't know God or we don't trust him, we can't see what he's doing. But he's doing amazing things. So I went through my most of my adult years not knowing God, towards the end of those years before I was saved, too, I didn't even necessarily believe he existed. I've had two failed marriages before I came to Christ. I've done all kinds of stupid things. I didn't have any role models of Jesus, and so I didn't know what to do. But I met a woman when I was 41 years old who's now my wife, and she had wonderful Christian spirit about her. She always had her Bible with her. At one time in her life, she was homeless. And she never tried to change me because I hated Christians, I hated pastors, but this woman was just there, and I watched her over 5 years, and over 5 years of us being engaged before we got married, God drew me in, the Holy Spirit just drew me in, and I saw that he was loving, and I met my wife's friends, Lynn's friends, they're Christian, and I saw that they were loving, they weren't judging me. I began to like Christian people. I began to like my first Christian pastor who married us, Pastor Dave. My life began to change, and my body broke down. I had a severe back issue all throughout my body, and it completely broke down when I was 46 years old, and I was helpless. And my wife would say to me, can I read you the Bible? Can I read you about Job? And I said, yes, yes, please do. Please read me. And she would read me. And I cried when I heard about Job because Job was terribly afflicted, way worse than me. And if he had that kind of affliction and God can repair him, I figured he could do it with me. And somehow one morning I woke up and I had tears just rolling out of my eyes. I turned to my wife, we'd just been married about 2 weeks, and I said, I think I believe in Jesus. And from ever that point, I've been trying to give my life to him.
I like the word trying.
Yeah,
it's a journey, isn't it? It's a journey, you know, I don't know. For all have fallen short, what is that? For all have fallen short for the glory of God. What's that scripture?
Right.
It's coming
we
to
all
mind.
We fall short
of the glory.
We fall short, and God just loves us. He just loves us. It's like he just is here for us all the time. I see it with these fatherless boys when we take them places or go camping. I'm actually looking at the campground we go to in the city of Orange right now, and I'm outside in the park talking to you. And it's just, there's been amazing things there, and these boys are so broken. They don't have their dads around, and they feel rejected. They don't feel like they're worth anything. And God sends us as Christian men to come by and help them and show them the love of Christ, take them fishing, you know, to a campfire, BB gun shooting, archery, many, many different things, crafts, all kinds of stuff. And he shows his love that way. And it's all free. It's a symbol of his unconditional love, which is free through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ.
So here's a story of a 12-year-old who... What was your relationship with your father before he died? Was it good?
Well, yeah, I really loved my dad a lot. He tried really hard. He worked a lot of jobs. Horses going by if you hear some trotting. And my dad... you know, he was like my rock. I didn't really know God, and I'm actually a Jewish believer. We went to synagogue when my dad was alive. I could not connect. I just could not connect there. And the only connection I've ever had with my Jewish roots is after knowing Christ as my Savior, my Messiah. My dad was a wonderful man, and he tried very, very hard. But when I lost him at age 12, I did not have the role model to show me how a adolescent should grow into a man and a man of God, and that was the challenge.
There's no mention of your mother here.
My mom, she's 92. After my dad, she's still with us on this earth. After my dad died, she became my rock. The single mom works hard. They work hard. Most of them are out working a full-time or two jobs, sometimes three jobs, to take care of their family. They're highly stressed. The Bible says that they're pressured. James 1:27 uses the word troubled or afflicted. And it really means pressure in the original Greek language. Yeah, they're pressured. They don't have the money. They don't know how to take care of their kids. In the case of boys without fathers, they can't be a dad to them, and they're very sad about this. My mom actually is a three-time widow, Sue. All three husbands died. She's still with us. She's 92. She got saved at age 81, a year and a half after I did.
Oh, my goodness. What a neat story.
And she is awesome.
That's a wonderful story there. And, you know, mothers, they do have a lot of responsibility. And I know a lot of single mothers, and it is not an easy road. Not an easy road. And they can't be dad and mom. They try hard to do that. But it's just, it's an impossible thing. God didn't create, you know, it to be that way. So it's difficult because they're carrying the weight of two.
That's right. That's right. See, what you said is so much in God's heart. There's many verses in the Bible. There's about 40 verses that talk about God's heart for the fatherless and the orphans, which is basically the same word.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out some years ago, my pastor sent me an email, and he said, Bob, look at this. He did a word search on that fatherless and orphan, and the root of the word means lonely.
Oh.
These kids are lonely, and boys without dads, not to discount girls without dads, because they need that. We work specifically with boys without dads. Those guys are lonely, and the mom cannot be a father to them. That's why they need Christian men to help. The only one that can come in the image of a holy God, our Father in heaven, to these boys as an earthly father that knows Jesus is a man. He's the only one, and that's why we cry out in prayer every day, and we talk to churches, and we say, hey, guys, you guys that are on fire for Jesus and you want to do something, join us. Team up with us. This is easy. We work in groups. We have fun. The moms bring the boys to us. When the activities are over, fishing, weightlifting, bike shop, whatever it is, the moms pick them up, and everybody is blessed. We fulfilled Scripture, and we've pleased our Father in heaven.
That's awesome. The name of your ministry is?
It's Mentor Me Ministries. The website is mentorme.org, mentorme.org.
And anyone listening that needs more information or whatnot, you can click on SueFreeze.com and get the information. It'll be on within, you know, just a few days after this airs. So we have all that connecting information. It's called Helping Hands. And we always put the information, sometimes pictures, whatnot, so that you can look there and get information. So if you hear this and then, you know, you don't have a need at that moment, which talking to Bob, I mean, it could be your next door neighbor. It could be
it
someone
could be.
Just right down the street. It doesn't have to be someone that's sitting on a corner. It's somebody close to you that you could see that, that just needs some attention. And whether it's a male, a boy or a girl, we all, as children, we all need to not feel lonely, don't we?
Amen.
And that's
that.
What you're saying. And what a wonderful way to minister, by having fun. Because, you know, it's just so much easier to accept and receive love in a safe, kind, warm environment. And what better place than, you know, I used to take the kids for the youth group water skiing. Now,
oh, awesome.
Now it would be wakeboarding, but in my time it was water skiing. And I have kids even now coming up to me and saying, Mrs. Freeze, do you remember you took me and taught me how to, you know, and it's just wonderful times. But what a wonderful time to be able to minister to kids, because they're having a good time. They're open. You know, Christianity doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be cold or hard. I mean, it should be warm and very receiving, welcoming, and not so judgmental.
Amen to that.
So
we have a lot of fun.
Yes, fun is good.
Sue, is it permissible to give our contact phone number for the ministry?
Yes, you can, and it also that will be on the SueFreeze.com website. But go ahead.
It's 949 area code 394-0150, 394-0150.
Great, and it'll be, like I said, on SueFreeze.com, so anytime people can look it up and find your ministry.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is, isn't it? I love to connect those dots. It's great. So why does God have such a special place in his heart for the fatherless?
Well, he does because they're defenseless. The Bible has scripture about this. In Isaiah 1:17, it's written that Isaiah said, defend the cause of the fatherless. They're defenseless, and I know that when after my dad died, I felt defenseless in many ways, and I felt defenseless with bullies, and I felt just fearful of getting hurt, and I didn't have my dad to go to, and as a fatherless boy growing up, I didn't feel I can go to my mom for stuff she couldn't understand, like how to defend myself. Or how to even talk to somebody. And certainly I couldn't go to my mom about girls. You know, as a teenage boy without a father, where do you go? So you kind of learn by yourself, and you don't learn that well. And so there's a lot of issues there. The Bible also says in James 1:27 that we're to visit them in their trouble or affliction. That pure religion, it's the only place I read that pure religion in the Bible, is to visit the fatherless. It means to spend time with them or care for them or oversee them as humans, and to visit them in their trouble. And then God himself says he's a father to the fatherless. I think that applies to anyone who doesn't know him. But the verse is Psalm 68:5, a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. So God comes in where there isn't a man to take care of the wife and the children. And I also understand that some men don't do that, and they are there in the home too as well. That's why they're special to God in that way. We're all special, but that's the one nuance there.
Yeah, when you were saying that you know, you can't go to your mother, or you know, a boy can't go to his mother about questions about girls, I know a lot of little boys don't feel comfortable going to their dads regarding those questions too. So dads listening, make yourself available and make it to be an open forum where your son feels comfortable talking to you about those things, because it's so important. Being that you speak to so many who do not know about God, what do you say to those who ask, who's God?
Gosh, it's such a good question. One of the boys recently asked us, how do you hear God? And God is our creator. It says right from the beginning of the Bible, that in Genesis, that God created man. He created everything in the heavens and earth. And in the garden was a good place, and God walked with Adam in the garden. And work wasn't quite as hard in the garden as it is here now on this earth after the fall of man. And again, in 1 John, the Bible says that God is love. Again, Jesus died for our sins. God is our creator. He's loving. He has a spirit. He's one God. He's our Father. He's Son, our Savior. And then he's the Holy Spirit who guides the believer in his everyday activity. The Holy Spirit encourages us in God. He encourages us in his word. And that's where we get our daily living. He's here to help us. The Bible calls him a helper, a counselor. That's who God is. He's our dad.
I have, you know, in my past, I've been around people that have had bad situations with dads. And so when they relate dad's love to God's love, sometimes the picture isn't pretty because there's, you know, it's a fallen world. And so sometimes what we know to be God's love from what we've experienced personally isn't the God that God is. And so the best way to know that is to have a father image or a brother image, like the big brother thing, or your ministry or something like that, to where somebody can see the love of God and feel and experience the love of God, because maybe in their family they're not experiencing that, so they wouldn't even know what God's love felt like or looks like.
I agree. I've seen it so many times, and you have too. Many people listening know this, and many listening have experienced it for themselves. It could be a woman who did not have a father that knew how to show love, or maybe he was an abusive father. She became a single mom. Before she became a single mom, perhaps married a man that wasn't good to her, who also didn't know how to be a good man. It takes time for these things to go away. It takes, only God's love can cure these bad things that have happened to us. But over time, it can happen. And the more of us that are willing to be examples and to come to people in God's image, and in our case, the image of a father as Christian fathers, some of the moms have called us Christian fathers, over time, it makes a huge difference. And the single mom who never had a good example, perhaps, in their whole lives of a man, for the first time, actually sees who God really is, just a little bit through us.
This is so awesome. You're listening to the Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we're going to have to go to break in a second, so I want you to be thinking about this next question. We got 2 minutes, so maybe we can answer this. Likewise to understanding who God is, how do you explain who God's son is and what he has done for them?
Oh, my goodness. God's son is the atonement for our sins. Our original parents sinned in the Garden of Eden, and they ate the forbidden fruit. They were told not to, and they were cast out of the garden. And there has to be a Savior for us. We can't get beyond our sin. We can't go to live in heaven forever with our Father God in heaven. We can't do it unless there's some way to clear our sins, to cover our sins. And that's who Jesus is. That's who his son is. That's why Jesus came to this earth. And he said he didn't come to judge the earth. He came to save. He came to save the whole world, John 3:16, that whoever would believe wouldn't perish but have eternal life. And that's who Jesus Christ is. He's our Savior. He's our shepherd. He shepherds us.
So do you see healing from this reality of Jesus Christ? I can tell you a personal story, but do you see healing from this reality when you teach the kids that you talk to and people in general?
Well, yes, there's huge healing. There's huge healing when they finally realize who he is and what they're doing, what he's doing for them in their lives and what he has for their lives. We've seen many boys saved. We at our camps, we always have what I call a come to Jesus party around the campfire. It's very fun. No one's forced into doing anything. And we even have a baptism the next morning. We offer a baptism either in the lake or swimming pool. And many boys confess their faith in Christ openly. And you can see smiles on their face. And when they get baptized, baptism doesn't say, but when they confess their faith and get baptized, they move different in the water. They're smiles, they have joy, they're splashing the water. It's a rejoicing. Yeah, they know. They know when we teach them. When children trust you, you can teach them things, they'll believe you. That's why we have to do it righteously. The people, you know, when the enemy comes in and does wrong things, the children might believe that. But when they finally connect with Jesus Christ, who he is, they know. It's usually something that they don't go back from, especially if they have righteous leaders, people that are following God.
We will be back with more of the Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back again, and this is the Sue Freeze Show, and we're talking to Bob Drake, who is talking about boys that are fatherless, and he has a ministry that he's already mentioned the title and where you can connect with the ministry, and it will be on the SueFreeze.com page, and the podcast will be on there. So, Bob, you were talking about that there's healing, the reality of understanding Jesus Christ, that there is healing that comes to be, and you were talking about the lake and the baptism, and I personally experienced this with my son, Tyson, because I was talking about the water ski trip, and I was praying and praying and praying with my pastor that Tyson would come to know the Lord and that he would give his life to the Lord. And, you know, I wasn't really thinking baptism at the time, but we were at the lake, and I was so excited when there was a call around the campfire asking if anybody would like to be baptized the next morning. And my son, my stomach, I'm reliving it right now, that my stomach just dropped. And I would just, you know, got all teary-eyed because it was an answer to prayer.
Oh, praise
God. And then James, my pastor, my boat is in the back of the picture. The background is my boat, which is so awesome. And James goes, "Sue, do you want to come baptize your son with me?" And I went, "Oh, my gosh." So it was really a highlight for me to be able to baptize my son. And I just think that's so wonderful to be able to do that. But you also talked about the devil, because there's people that just don't really believe that the devil is real. And in John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And that is so awesome, because we have to understand that there is a fight going on. There's a fight going on in the spiritual realm. And, you know, us here on this earth, it says faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And I have seen the most healing happen in a loving environment. That's when healing happens, is when a person feels safe and feels loved. And I've experienced this firsthand. And I can tell you firsthand, when this happened to me was in 92. I remember it so distinctly. And I had been married for many years and was feeling like my marriage was going downhill fast. And I didn't feel like I felt very hopeless. I was in a very hopeless state. And I went to a place where I did feel safe. And what really came to be, to where I really felt a washing, for me to be washed clean and white as snow, to be blameless in the Lord's sight. There was such an unworthiness throughout me. I didn't feel worthy. And the reason was because I never felt loved by my father, my real father. I never felt truly loved by my father. And that made me feel unworthy as a daughter. And so I can relate to this from a daughter standpoint. And what you're saying is, for a son, it's even more dramatic, which I can't even imagine, but it's got to be. But from a daughter's standpoint, to not feel loved by your father, to not understand a father's love because I didn't feel that, I'm getting vulnerable and transparent right now. And that's okay, because that's what our show's about. So when I learned in a very loving and safe environment that my heavenly father could love me and that I was worthy if I, you know, accept him and accept his forgiveness, because I had to make a choice to do that, accept his forgiveness for me, and that I was worthy. And when I got a hold that Jesus died for me, that's when there was a life-changing experience within me. And so I know this firsthand to be true, and I think that's what God wants for us. Would you agree?
Yes, I do. I really do. We teach the boys to forgive based on Jesus' death on the cross and atoning for our sins and for forgiving us. We try and help them forgive their fathers. Not all the boys are angry with their fathers, but some are. And we had a whole theme. One of our camps was about forgiveness, and it's very, very important. And that's a way to build to forgive who hurt you, in this case, a father, and then actually maybe even begin to have love for that father and to grow close to the Lord, because his unconditional love is to love the sinner, not the sin, but the person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In understanding our purpose, God created man in what way?
In his image. He created man in his image. Genesis 1:26 and 27 said, God said that he made man in our image. We'll make man in our image, paraphrasing a bit, but it's our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. And we can act in his image. He's a holy God. God has unconditional love. We can act in his image, especially if we grow with him. It's pretty hard, though, if you don't believe in who he is and you don't believe in his son that he died for you, then the Holy Spirit doesn't come into you. But when the Holy Spirit is working in you, then you can surrender to him and he can help you because he does have unconditional love.
So how does or should our design impact our daily lives?
Well, the Bible says to be imitators of Christ. In Ephesians 5:1-2, to imitate him. And he is love, and he sacrificed himself. Life with God is a life of sacrificing ourselves and giving to God for what he wants us to do and then to give to others. And I believe God has the power. He can empower us to do anything he wants. I'm seeing it in my life. I see it in others' lives. I see it in people that I read about, but we're all imperfect. God is the only perfect one, and he can give us his power to be more perfect like him. We can be imitators of Christ. It's possible.
You know, the word empowerment is so... I was thinking that, and then you said it, the empowerment, because there is an empowerment that happens. When you feel... in line with his will, that there's an empowerment that happens, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that strengthening doesn't happen just once. Like people when they get baptized or people when they receive the Lord, it doesn't end there. That's only the beginning. That's the beginning of a journey that can be magnificent or, you know, it can be difficult. It depends on choices we make day to day. So many people ask, yes, for sure. So many people ask what their purpose is. This is a really good one, isn't it? I get that all the time, you know. They ask what their purpose is. Can you share with us how we can serve God?
Oh, gosh. The first way is to get to know him through his son, Jesus, to believe that Jesus did die for us, that he gave his life for us, that he rose from the dead to give us eternal life, that he ascended to heaven to give us the Holy Spirit. That first has to happen. The Holy Spirit can reveal your life's purpose to you. He is a guide to take you in your life's purpose, to reveal it to you. In my situation, I had no idea what God was going to have me do. And after I was saved in the summer of 99, I prayed every day. I cried. I cried real tears. I was begging God to show me how I can serve Him and give my life back to Him. I would say, "Dear Lord, I know You saved my life. I know that You saved me forever to be with You. How can I give my life back to You? How can I give my life back to You? I'll do anything You want." It went on for many months, probably almost a year. And my wife and I went away to a resort, and we prayed for 3 days, and still asking God, "What is our marching orders?" And we believed that God would tell us. And when we got back home from this resort, within 2 weeks, I received 2 phone calls asking me to mentor fatherless boys. This is real. And that's never happened to me ever before, nor would I have thought about it. I would have done anything. I would have been a custodian and cleaned toilets, which I actually did. I cleaned our church for almost a year and worked another job at the same time. And I started mentoring fatherless boys. I prayed hard, and God answered the prayer. He connected it with my dad, with the pain of my dad's death, and I knew it was real. I've been doing it ever since for 11 years, and it's been real the whole time. I know who I am. I am an ambassador for the fatherless and to help others do the work. That's who Bob Drake is in the kingdom of God. That's my role. Love God first, love others, and I believe that's my wife second, and family, and that's my role. I'm an ambassador to the fatherless. It can be for anybody to find their role. Anybody. It's for anybody.
So what you're saying, you know, for you is, you know, your trials and tribulations, you know, you've turned it around to glorify God and to use something that you feel so passionate about because you lived it. And so it's something where you're going to give back and help those not feel as much pain, or just guide them in the direction they should go so they don't have to be wandering around lonely.
That's exactly the case. God uses my pain. My pain became His mission for me.
That's awesome. And we all have pain. I don't think there's anybody on this earth that doesn't feel pain somewhere. And so to use those experiences and use them and turn them around to where you can help others and guide them. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. We're talking to Bob Drake, and he's had an amazing story about losing his father at 12 and how through that and not having a father image in his life, how now he is involved, began this ministry for fatherless boys. And so I would bet that since it's fatherless boys and you want fathers to mentor boys, then it would be for the male gender to help these young boys, correct? Because they can't, they don't feel comfortable asking the woman about girl questions. So it's men for boys.
And that's correct.
And that's wonderful. So if somebody wanted to get involved in this ministry, what would they need to do? They would need to contact you, obviously. Is there any screening? Is there anything like that?
There is screening. We do a background check, which includes 2 references, and one of them has to be a church pastor. We do a fingerprinting, which is called a live scan, through the Department of Justice, and they also check the FBI records, and we also check on Megan's list. And that is the extent that we can check anybody. And we work in groups. One of the good safety measures that God put into this is it's group mentoring. So, for example, if we go fishing, there might be 6 Christian men to 12 fatherless boys, which a 1-to-2 ratio is what we're after. And the single moms deliver the boys to us. They either deliver them to the lake or they'll deliver them to a place close by where we'll take the boys into the lake. And then we're with them in groups. We don't go off alone with them. There is 1-to-1 interaction in the group. But it is group mentoring, and when the activity is done, the moms pick them up. So we're not going to the single mom's home and picking up her son. And also, I will say that our mentors are not obligated to any length of service with us. They don't sign any agreement that says they have to be with us for a year or mentor a certain boy every week or every 2 weeks for 6 months. It's just when God makes them available. Because we work in groups, there are always Christian men that are available to work with us. And the way that people would get a hold of us, again, is through the website, mentorme.org, or our phone number, 949-394-0150. And we can talk to them, answer any questions, meet with them, and give them a little orientation. It's free, and then they can pray. And if God leads them, there's a little bit of paperwork, fingerprinting, and they can begin.
So I know a 22-year-old guy who is an amazing Christian. He's not a father yet, but could he get involved in this ministry if he wanted to?
Yes, and actually, I pray that he would.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good to know.
That's my prayer. And there's a great place for the college-age young Christian man. There's a perfect place. I myself am 58. I definitely feel a dad role and almost a grandpa role, but there's a perfect place for the 20-ish young man in this ministry to fill in a gap there in that age range.
Yeah, and they like to have fun, too. So it sounds like a fun ministry, along with being, you know, very, very worthwhile, and it's heartwarming. You know what I would love to hear? We have, like, I don't know, about 7 or 8 minutes. What I'd like to hear is some of the stories that you've experienced or that you've heard about from this ministry. I'm putting you on the spot, and I'm not sorry.
No, that's okay. I'll tell you a story. It just happened. There's many, many stories, that hundreds of them, thousands of them. But one that just happened, we began taking boys from Southern California, more specifically in Orange County in the L.A. area, to camp on Catalina Island. And we did several camps on the island. And then we began praying about, I believe the Holy Spirit led us in this prayer of seeking him, what about the fatherless boys that live there, that actually live on the island? And lo and behold, there was two fatherless boys that joined us last summer at our second camp on the island. And it grew to where we now have met and mentored 21 fatherless boys on the island in 12 months, roughly. And I figured there's about 100 of them there. It's about 2% of whatever the population is are fatherless boys. They've got 4,000 or 5,000 in the summer. And these boys are pretty much, they're waterlocked there. They don't get off the island very much. And their single moms are probably working 2 or 3 jobs. So they don't have anything to do up until even 9 o'clock at night. They're just hanging around. There's one boy that told us that he wanted to be a pilot. He's 13. He said he wanted to be a pilot since he was 6 years old. And I believe that that I personally heard God, and it's not about me. Our mentors hear lots of different things. But in this case, I heard about this boy to try and just pray and get him a plane ride. And one of our very, very good friends of this ministry has an airplane, and it's a two-seater. And I finally called him and dragged my feet on it like a lot of men will do. But God moved on me, and I finally called him and asked him, would you take this boy for up in the air? And no hesitation, this is a wonderful servant of Christ, and he said, yeah, I will. But would you bring it up to me? I don't like flying to the island anymore. And so I brought him out to the Inland Empire, where this man has his airplane, and went and picked him up, got on the boat 6:15 in the morning, went out and got him, brought him, got in the car, drove him about 85 miles out to where this airport was. And he got this young man, 13 years old, I don't think he's ever seen his dad even. He got full instruction on the airplane, how it works. He got to see the engine. He got to see a hangar. Then he went up in the plane, two-seater. He got to hold the wheel for a little while. They came back after about an hour and 15 minutes, and this boy got out of the plane, and he looked at me. He said, Bob, I think I found my life's purpose. And I go, yeah, I think you did. And then the gentleman, I'm leaving him anonymous, which is the way he was wanted, took us to lunch at the airport. He gave this young man two magazines on aircraft and a real pilot's chart. And he showed them everywhere that they went. And they even went out and saw Catalina Island, too, from a distance. And every place they went, And he told me, then the boy had to excuse himself for a moment and go into the restroom. And this man, this mentor, told me, and I know he wouldn't have said this if it wasn't true, he said, this guy's a natural. And when he came back, he said, if you work hard and you study, you can be a pilot. And on the way back to the boat, the boy told me several times, he said, I think I found my life purpose. I said, I believe it. And I just said to him, just do one thing. Make sure you always give it for the glory of God. And he said, I will. And that's the story. That's what we do. We help these guys grow up to be men of God. And it's easy. God provides it. And if he doesn't provide it, then he probably doesn't want it. He gives what he wants, and it works. Praise God.
That's an awesome story. Can you think of another one? We have 4 minutes left.
I certainly can think of another one. It's about a boy who went to camp with us about 5 years ago. And he's 15 now, and he lives out here in Orange County, California. And he's a really neat kid, and I just talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and I never knew this about him. I always thought that he had a relationship with God from a very young lad. And he told me, he said, Bob, he goes, we were talking about camp and how important they are. We're training this boy as a leader, and he's leading other boys now, follow those boys younger. And he said, you know, at that camp I went to in the mountains, and it was about 5 years ago, he goes, up until that time, I was really only a Christian by association with my mom. And my mom took us to church and everything. But he said, I never really had my own relationship with Jesus. And it was at that camp that I first started to build my relationship with Jesus. And I can't even tell you how that made me feel, because that camp was so much work to get together. It was 43 people. It was a lot of work, but we had some great skits and things about Jesus. Even Santa Claus was there, as a Christian Santa Claus, giving out gifts. And we talked about knowing the Father. And he came away with a relationship with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, of his own. And now he's learning to lead other fatherless boys. And it's such a praise to God. Such a praise.
So what is the age group that you normally deal with in ministry? What are the age groups that you deal with?
We work with boys, fatherless boys. These are guys that don't get to see their dads, or they rarely do, between the ages of 5 and 18. And the youngest one that was ever referred to us by a big church in Orange County, he's 4 years old. He came to camp with us at age 4. He was potty trained. He can listen, he can understand, and he obeyed. And it worked out great. He's been with us ever since. He's now 8 years old. And him and I talk on the phone all the time when we don't see each other. And when we do, he comes to camp or fishing or anything that he can get to that his mom can bring him to.
You are
generally
listening.
It's 5 to 18.
Okay. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. Is there anything that the Holy Spirit is tugging at you that you want to say? We have 2 minutes left, and I always do this at the end of my shows, because if there's something that hasn't been said, that you're waiting for the right moment and it didn't come and it's here now, is there anything? I loved where, you know, right here where it says, you know, how can we serve God? And I loved what you said. Is there anything more that you'd want to say about that? Because I talk about gifts and how God gives each one of us gifts, and we are created for a specific purpose. I know I say this to my children almost every day. You know, you are created for a specific purpose, and I can't wait to see what God does with that. And using your gifts and understanding what your talents are, because it shouldn't be difficult, and what you're passionate about is usually something that you're good at. So what do you say, you know, how can we serve God? Do your kids ask that when they're on ministry? Do they say, what do I do? How can I, you know, what's next after they receive the Lord?
I have not heard that very much from the children. Usually we're helping them right away so that they're not left to ask the question.
And when you say you're helping them right away, you're helping them with an understanding of who God is and who they are with Christ and the love of God.
We're further teaching them the Word of God, and the 12-year-old boys, we're helping them to become leaders. We have a leadership training based on Job and the Beatitudes. It's just has just begun after being a vision for 4 years, but it's very powerful. And they help with the younger boys, and they help in work. Sometimes they help people move, or they help serve at church to give food. I think they get to experience different things, and we try and guide them into experiencing different things. And to answer your question, the big burden I have on my heart, and I think what God wants me to say to whoever is listening, is He loves you, and don't give up hope in your life if you're hurting or not hurting, whatever your situation is. Don't give up any hope, because God is always, always there for us, always there for us. And for the church, I absolutely believe that there's a way to fulfill Scripture in James 1:27, pure religion is to visit the fatherless in their affliction. There's a way to do it, and it blesses the single mom, too. And partner with us, or at least check us out. It's not just us. There's many little grassroots ministries like this across the country. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you call us. But there's ways to spend time with fatherless boys. These boys are our neighbors. They live next door to us with their single moms. They don't wear a name tag on that says, I'm without my dad, I'm hurting, I'm cutting my wrist, I'm doing drugs, I'm growing up the wrong way. They don't say these things. They're not demonstrative. They don't know how to tell their trouble. But they live all over the place. There's over 5 million fatherless boys in the United States that haven't seen their dads in the last year. And we ask you to team with us in the mission, whether it's with us or you do it as a group within your church. It's all under Jesus Christ. Just team up as in this mission. It's easy to do, and it really pleases God. These guys are our future, and they will marry young ladies, and they'll be good husbands and fathers to their children.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is just beautiful. So you've been listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5. And until next week, I just want to say you are forgiven. You need to look up. You need to ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you. And just understand that He loves you with all His heart, and He wants you to have a relationship with Him. So look up. Open up your Bible. If you don't have one, get one. And start reading and start getting to know who God is. And you will be blessed. And all these things, we just bring it all to Him, and He will make it right. So until next week, thank you so much, and God bless you all.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.